Okay.
Randall, he's not on yet.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Brandy.
You're welcome.
I know.
He's not on yet.
Okay. I was hot, late myself.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, we can begin. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. The handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11. second column from the left. It will open a landing page of the advanced reincarnation classes. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to class 34, and the link to the handout is class 34B, which will open up to chapter 34 and section 4. Title is Ben Azai and the Souls of Converts. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Itkinte Bidkidu Urchimu Utkidu Utkilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Babavte Vayehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah. Vasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kenune Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kenunehu. Ben Azai and the Souls of Converts, Chapter 34, Section 4. Returning to the matter, Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva were creators of souls for converts. While he, Rabbi Akiva, was away from his wife, both of them were holy. This one from the side of the of Giborah of Abel, and this one from the side of Giborah of Cain. To come closer, Ben Azai married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. This was part of the tikkun process of Cain killing Abel. My commentary. We learn from here that there can be two people participating in the tikkun. In this case, it was Yitro giving Moshe Tzipporah as one person, and the other is Rabbi Akiva giving his daughter to Ben Azai. Understanding that these tikkunim are probably different soul parts from Cain and Abel. As an example, the left arm of Cain would need to give a wife to the person of Abel in these other reincarnations, then the right arm of Cain might also need to give a wife to the person of Abel to achieve the tikkun, or to complete the tikkun. Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva were creators of souls for converts. Even though he did not consummate the marriage and he divorced her, nevertheless he still performed the mitzvah of marriage. Through Kiddushin, the marriage ceremony, a man gives his wife an Or Makif, surrounding light, from his Ruach. Ben Azai, when he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, gave her this Ruach in the secret of an Or Makif, and it remained with her forever. In this respect, Ben Azai created an eternal bond with Rabbi Akiva. Even though divorce removes it from the woman, some small aspect of it remains. My commentary. There are a few secrets in this paragraph. A husband transfers light to his wife. He creates the vessel during the marriage ceremony, and then she converts the Or Makif to Or Pnimiyut during her lifetime. Even if there is a divorce, there is no disappearance in spirituality. Or Makif is surrounding light, and Or Pnimiyut is inner light. When a woman or a man is married as a mixed marriage, Jew and Gentile, this does not take place. And that is why the Orthodox rabbis are instructed to deal with that marriage event as if nothing had happened. This is the secret of what Ben Azai used to say to Rabbi Akiva. All the sages of Israel compared to me are like the peel of a garlic, except for this bald one. Without doubt, Ben Azai was not, heaven forbid, putting himself above the wise of Israel in speaking this way, or by referring to Rabbi Akiva disrespectfully as the bald one. R- Rather, the secret of the matter is that either all or most of the sages were creating souls for converts through their Torah learning. However, there is a difference. For there were among them those who could only bring souls from the klipah called Noga. However, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai, after they brought them from there, could also bring them to holiness, rectify them, and give them to converts. This level was above that of all of the rest of the sages of the generation. And this is what Ben Azai referred to when he said that they are as the peel of a garlic husk before me, except for this bald one. My commentary. In my opinion, the language is still strange and concerning to me to speak to a sage like this. I do not understand it. I think there is something different, deeper. The secret is this. In the limb of the sign of the Brit Milah, the holy covenant of circumcision, there are two openings. The right one to produce a holy seed, and the left one for dirty urine, the food of the klipot. Between the two is a thin layer, like the peel of a garlic, and it is called klipat noga. Now, all the wise men of the generation could only bring souls from the klipot, ashum, from the garlic husk, and then bring them to the holy opening on the side of holiness. In this way, they brought them to holiness, after which they drew them out of their bodies into the bodies of converts. Why did Rabbi Akiva have this ability also? This is why he called him Korach, the bald one. Because Korach, the son of Yitzhar, also comes from the root of Cain. He was called Korach because all the Levites had been completely shaven bald, because of the strong din that was in them. Music itself takes the psyche out of din, out of depression, and brings it into chesed, joy. Hair is din, or judgment. The inauguration of the Levites involved cutting off all of their hair. This sweetened any negative form of judgment for them, and initiated them into their service of singing in the temple. Music itself takes the psyche out of din or depression and brings it into chesed, which is joy. The Levites made music while the offerings were brought. The service in the temple affected the whole world. In order to facilitate it, the Levites themselves had to be in a state of completely ameliorated din. Rabbi Akiva was also from the root of Cain, which is the crown of Geburah. And as a result of his piousness, all the hairs of his body were shaven, which sweetened the strength of his din. Thus was he called Korach, and was he able to bring convert souls from the actual place of holiness, as Ben Azai did from the side of Chesed. For it is there that the souls of converts are aroused. This is also the secret of why Rabbi Akiva is called a chassid, pious, though he was the crown of Givurah. So the Talmud says, they left Rabbi Akiva to his piousness. Zohar also calls him the pious elder. My commentary. I have noticed that older men sometimes and quite frequently lose the hair on their legs. There usually is a physical reason of poor circulation. Yet the spiritual reason is the din in their lives has been converted to chesed. A female student commented that older women also lose their hair on their legs. That is the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? Continuing with chapter 34, section 5a. Abaye, and the Souls of Converts. Abaye was also strong in this ability, like Ben Azai, to draw souls to converts through the learning of Torah, even though he did not separate from his wife. This is the secret of what it says. Abaye said, "Behold, I am as Ben Azai in the Tiberian market." He would only say this when he was very happy. Such a state of mind makes great unifications above and opens doors for new innovation and creation. The word for market is shuk, which also means thigh. Thighs are figuratively outside the body proper. Just as the market is outside of the house, they embody Netzach and Hod, which are called as if outside of the Sefirot proper. The highlight of Keter finds expression specifically through these levels. Netzach and Hod extend to the entire feet, which are called regalim. It comes from hergal, things that one is used to, things that are done naturally and unconsciously. So they come from Keter, the superconscious above the mind. Being outside the Sefirot, Netzach and Hod descend to enliven the low places. The market is a place outside, with many vendors open to all. It represents the Sitra Achra, which is outside of holiness, which presents many deities and is open to all types of energies that conceal Hashem. So the negative forces are also called chitzonim, the outsiders. Joy is special in that it comes out and fixes all of the outside places. The sparks in the outside places are very powerful. Abaye was able to elevate them and harness their great energy to attain expanded consciousness. Tiberias is an ancient holy city in the north. His does not at all imply that Abaye was in Tiberias at the time. In fact, he was mostly in Babylonia, but he was graced to ascend at special times to the choice heights of Ben Azai's expanded state. There are many teachings from the rabbis around it. Someone collected them and wrote a whole book. Tiberia forms Tibor Yud-He, the navel of Yud-He. The navel is the center of the body. It divides between the upper and lower, representing a vortex between the spiritual and physical. Yud-He enlivens the upper realms. Tibor Yud-He represents a unifying force that leaves the spiritual on top. Abaye also tapped into this dynamic and used it for mind expansion and to draw the deepest revelations. The common denominator of existence. All are equal before the intrinsic, absolute essence. Like small, like large, as darkness as light. Equates and equating. All levels are the same when in comparison to what is always infinitely beyond them. Abaye channeled hasagot, graspings of divinity, from this exalted place into this limited realm. This is the key to his outstanding greatness. The Arizal reveals that this comes from his exalted superior soul source in the good of Cain. Abaye is one of the special souls in the redemption process, and so he relates closely to Rabbi Yaiva, the elder, who had one of the highest hasagot of all time. And so, as mentioned, Rabbi Chaim Vital is very closely related to him. He first began to draw divine inspiration by the grave of Abaye. The reason is because Abia is also from the root of Cain, the crown of Giborah. And when he sweetened the Giborah, he transformed it to Chesed. This is what, when Giborah is called Simcha, joy, in the secret of the rejoicing wine. Then he was like Ben Azai, creating souls for converts from the side of Chesed, which is where they are aroused. The opposite of rejoicing wine is drunken wine. Intoxication can be used for good or for bad, just as raw energy can be used either way. Wine that intoxicates comes from Giborah, from power. The rejoicing wine is used to refer to Bina. Like Giborah, it is positioned at the left side of the Sephiroth, but a notch up. It is so in a state of sweetened judgment. Wine is from Din. The original sin caused the surge of Din, setting Giborah out of balance. Tzadikim draw Bina energy to liberate Giborah from the negative Din and ameliorate it. This makes Giborah like Bina, becoming the rejoicing wine. In simple terms, this can be expressed in such ways as a problem becoming a plus. Anytime one merits to make such a transformation, negative energies in the universe are also transformed. This converts them to good. Of all those whom we have said are from the root of Cain, only Abia had his nefesh, his ruach, and neshama from Cain, which is very important. His soul was not a mixture, but rather all three parts were from Cain, the secret of the souls of converts. Thus, Abia had great ability to produce convert souls without even having to separate from his wife. His intense Cain connection energized his soul with intense Tohu lights that were powerful enough to elevate souls into Kedusha, into holiness, without having to separate below in order to attain higher connection. However, Rabbi Akiva had a nefesh from Cain, while his ruach and neshama came from elsewhere. Therefore, he needed to separate from his wife. Ben Azai, since he came from the Giborah of Abel, needed to not marry at all. All qualities and traits come from the Sephiroth. One of the expressions of Giborah is introspection and being alone. A hermit is one such expression. It can also come out as celibacy. Now you will be able to understand what Abia meant when he said, "I am like Ben Azai in the Tiberian market." Really, he should have compared himself to Rabbi Akiva, since they were both from the root of Cain. However, Ben Azai's ability to produce souls of converts was greater than that of Rabbi Akiva, since Ben Azai never married. Moreover, since Abia's nefesh, ruach, and neshama came from Cain, he was literally like Ben Azai, even though he remained with his wife. Now, since all parts of Abia were from Cain, when he argued with Rava, who was from Abel, the law was not according to his opinion. As a general spiritual rule, the law is as the Abel root in a halakhic dispute, the code of law disputes. The reason for this is based on the aforementioned idea that Cain is an expression of the world of Tohu and Abel of the world of Tikkun. Tohu underwent destruction and devastation. Tikkun followed, and through it, the world endures. Just as there are natural laws, so there are spiritual laws. They come to us through the rules of the Torah. Just as nature's laws need to go according to the Tikkun format in order to endure, so it is with the Torah's laws. This is said from our perspective. from below to above. In reality, all of nature's laws come from the Torah and are actually an expression of them incognito. Nevertheless, the universe still needs Tohu energy, even now before it is ready to fully deal with it. This is brought to expression through opinions in halakha, in Torah rules, that are not the final word. Abaye needs to state his views even though it is not to be practiced. Moreover, in all of the disputes between Abaye and Rava, there are six. Yud Aleph Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem, in which the law is decided like him. In Baba Kama, some minute expression of Tohu within Tikkun that is necessary for the now. Just as the Halakha is like Bet Hillel, who is from Chesed, the Tikkun aspect against Bet Shammai, who is from Givurah, above, the Tohu aspect. Yet there are instances that it goes according to Bet Shammai. In any case, Tohu and Tikkun must combine to bring the universe to its goal. Those who learn Torah are called builders of the world. The center of Torah learning revolves around the Babylonian Talmud. It centers around the discussions of Abaye and Rava, and it is called the Havayot, the debates of Abaye and Rava. Havayot can be understood to mean Yud-Kei-Vav-Hei, the central name and its permutations. The truth of Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei is unearthed through questions and answers. Also, Abaye and Rava equal 234 in Gematria. It is the same Gematria as Aleph Bet Shin Gimel Mem He Bet Nun. The primary permutations of Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei, from which all Yehudim, the divine name unifications, come. As seen from this whole compilation, the Cain, Ben Azai, Abaye, Rabbi Chaim Vital, etc., root is the main one for Yehudim, upon which the redemption depends. They are all perfected and brought to expression through the joint effort of the Cain and Abel roots. This fixes Cain's being murdered. Oh, this fixes Cain's having murdered Abel. My commentary. These main permutations of Havaya are Chachma 72, Bina 63, Zeranpin 45, and Malchut 52. Also, Chotem, the nose, at 58. Some people do not find any positive effect from doing unifications. This is just an indication of the root of your soul does not have these kind of tikkunim. Other people find doing unifications produces a positive effect. Remember, the feeling of good that comes from Torah study is not the reason for doing these mitzvot. The reason to do unification, Torah study, or any mitzvah is to give pleasure to the Creator, not to receive pleasure from the Creator. That is the end of the section. Are there any questions? Abaye the Orphans, Chapter 34, Section 5b. This is the reason why Abaye was an orphan who never saw his mother or father. It's hinted to in the verse, Asher bicha yerucham yatom, for it is with you that an orphan finds mercy. The head letters spell Aleph Bet Yud Yud, Abaye. This is because his nefesh, ruach, and neshama are from Cain, the entire root of which is the level of nefesh only. since he is from Malchut, which is the level of Nefesh, and the secret of Nefesh of Adam, as Nadav and Abihu mentioned above. Therefore, he is called orphan, since he is only from the level of Nefesh, which is called orphan. My commentary. These comments about Nefesh only from Cain is confusing. To clear this up, remember when a soul does not complete the whole tikkun, all parts during its first incarnation, but has completed its whole Nefesh during this first incarnation, the Ruach and Neshama may not return with its completed Nefesh. Thus it returns with the Nefesh of a convert, which is called an orphan. As the Torah stresses to treat the orphan well, this is referring to both concepts, a physical orphan and the Nefesh of the convert orphan. As mentioned, the Tohu lights departed and ascended above. This creates a quality of separateness in those who are from it. One of the ways this comes out is through being an orphan. In many places, the Torah groups the Levite, the Geir, the orphan, and the widow together. Above, the concept of the Geir was explained, how he leaves family ties, etc., when he converts. The orphan is similar in that he is devoid of family connection. The Levite has no portion in the land. A widow also is left without primary family relationship. Children's primary conceptual springboard to relate to Hashem. The Maharal explains that parents are children's primary conceptual springboard to relate to Hashem. One who has no parents lacks an intermediary, and as of necessity, ends up having a more direct connection. Abaya's intense Cain root afforded him intense desired connection to the one above. The supernal family, the Zohar, the soul levels are also as a family to each other. The Nefesh, the lowest level, looks to the ones on top for support and guidance. A lack creates desire and a need to be fulfilled. One who comes from Nefesh alone is as a spiritual orphan. Again, this may be set up by Providence to spur him on to achieve special direct attachment to Hashem. My commentary. The above three paragraphs are trying to explain the code words of widow, stranger, which is Geir, and Levite. Orphan is also a code word as described above in my commentary. This is similar to what it says in Sefer HaTikkunim, Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkun 11. Regarding the matter of repayment from the property of orphans. When the neshama is removed, what remains behind is the nefesh and ruach of orphans. Since Abaya was an orphan because all of his sections were from Cain, he was able to produce souls for converts without separation from his wife, because they too, having left their family, are like orphans without a mother. And a father, as the law says, Doshen Mishpat. This is the matter, all mixtures of Cain with the rest of the soul sparks that happen without the involvement of a mother or father are called orphans. Thus converts are called orphans, since they lack a Jewish mother and father at the time their souls are born. That's the end of that section. Should I go on, or do you feel there's enough material there to be contemplated.
Well, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
I would like to go back to the previous one where you gave the main permutation of Havaya, Hakma 72, Venus 63, Zeron 10, 45, and Malkut 52. Well, where did Nose come in to be 58? Are they referring to the Tikkun HaNefesh chart? I just don't usually see 58 with those. Okay.
If you look at the Tikkun HaNefesh, the word Chotam, which means nose, has a gematria of 58. And if you look at the at the letters as it comes down in the vertical, the spelled out name that you're looking at in the Tikkun HaNefesh, it has the gematria of those letters are 58. It's not the same as the ears. It's not. See, Chakma is 72. The only difference between Chakma and Bina is the Vav, spelled out Vav, changes to an Aleph instead of a Yud. So the difference is 9. But if you look at the spelled out in the Tikkun HaNefesh, you're going to find that, if I remember correctly, the Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. The first day is Hey Yud. So you have 20 and 15 is 35. Then the Vav is 13, which makes it 48. And then it's the hay is hay, which makes it 10, which totals to 58. That's just from memory, so you should check that out to see if it's correct.
Right. I'll check the chart.
But you understand how it's arrived at.
Yes.
And in that particular box, which was the 9th box, there is the word chotem, meaning nose. But then you have the two lines representing the nostrils, right and left.
Okay, thank you.
Have I ever done the chart with it in detail? I know I've done it, but I don't know that it's been a while. So,
well, I don't have the chart in this room. I have a Nikon notebook, and I have a Third Niels notebook, and I know they're in there because sometimes it's at night I do the chart, and sometimes it's different times. You know, right now I don't have it in this notebook, so. But I will check.
Yeah, I know I've never created a handout for the chart, but I've done a few times, at least once I remember that I did a recording on the chart, but I'm not sure where that chart would be on the website. You might run a local search and see what you find.
Okay. In one of my notebooks, I have Zion Nefesh has a different graphic. So it may be on that one, too.
Correct.
Okay. I'll double check. I figured nose had to come in, had to do with the body. But, I don't understand the idea that they were creating.
Say again. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Not sure. Okay, I know it's been a bad reception this whole time. I'm not sure I maybe I didn't understand it correctly, but it sounds like they were creating souls for converts, but yet not with their wives. Was I misunderstanding?
No, that's what the words say. Except one is on a level that he was able to make the converts souls with his wife, and others, Rabbi Akiva was not, and that's why he was separated while he was studying the Torah and building his 24,000 students. He was separated from his wife, Rachel. And we get this whole idea of wasted seed that is the picture of how can you create souls without your wife? What's the vessel? And we know that wasted seed is a very large sin. So it's not clear in this English translation, and I don't think it's clear in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew either. But I don't know for sure. I do know that with sufficient practice and control as a teenager, a man can reach the point where he can ejaculate without releasing semen. And that's what they may be referring to, which makes sense to me.
Okay.
It's one of the exercises that's developed in the tantric. And we know all of the stuff from the Eastern religions, the tantric, really originate in Judaism. And many times that information has been lost. And when the Mashiach comes, he will reintegrate those techniques back into Judaism. There's a procedure to do that. That's a three-step procedure. I always forget the words that represent the translation. But that's revealed primarily through Rabbi Ginsburg.
Okay.
Any other questions, or?
No, not at this time. I do need to reread it, though.
I need to reread it. It's really, there's a lot there. Are there any other questions from other people? You all have a good evening.
Okay.
Shavua Tov. Tomorrow's classes, we have three classes tomorrow. One is the Principles of Kabbalah, which is the basic classes. And I think we're getting to the level of tzedakah. Or maybe it's the getting into the calendar. I forget at this point. I have to look it up. And then that's the 11 o'clock class. The 4:30 class is the Deeper Zohar class. And 7 o'clock, the writings of the Ari. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.